scattered this word to a few persons last night for judgment. And it came up when Brother Joker was sharing on offering the soul. I sensed an atmosphere and I was quickened and I started praying, and this word came from John chapter 6. I never knew I will also have that privilege of sharing it with you, but I believe that this opportunity is express of the Lord. I believe it by faith. Okay, all of us in John chapter, we know what John chapter 6 is saying. One is one of the longest verses of scripture. I want to pick it up from where he said, does this offend you? Let's start from, okay, I like it from 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had this, said, this is an hard saying, and who can hear it? We all know the background to this is a progress from having given them the bread and fish to eat. They continue to follow on to have more. And then he changed the gear. Some of you who drive, I believe you change gear when you want to climb or when you want to descend. So he now changed and started telling them of another kind of bread. And they were not ready for that kind of bread. And this bread happens not to be the kind of bread that is terrestrial in nature. It happens to be himself. He now started telling them that he is the bread of life. He should be eating, and that his blood should be drunk. And we won't go into all that because we are very familiar with that. But what caught my attention is that based on what he now declared, many, verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? The first thing I managed to underscore is that this thinking was, this decision was by the disciples, some of the disciples. Now, in the followership of Jesus, there is a compartment of the crowd. There is also that of the disciples. Now, the people who said this are people who have also attained to a stature of believing and following him significantly in what he did. They have helped him, followed him a long way. So, when you come to that point, you could be called a disciple. These also could have also meshed into the set of people he sent out to go and preach and cast out demons. Now, when out of this lot of the disciples, some exclaimed, this is an hard saying. That hard saying there connotes something that is not realistic. It's also a way of approaching or defining something to be heretical. This is an hard saying. It's not just literally in the form that this is tough, but it means that this cannot be true. And from their background as Jews, Moses had taught them about sacrifices. And in offering to Molech, that is where you have the involvement of anything that has to do with tampering with life directly. And so why would you, whom we have followed on as a prophet that we know, be now saying this? This is an hard saying. But Jesus is always right, because he said this happens always also in the ministry of the word. When the word of God is taken literally, there will be a mistake. When the listening of God's word is just by this hearing and goes to the head to interpret it by the head, we fall into the same prey. And that's why Jesus said, the word I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. And he went further to say, in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself, hallelujah, hallelujah, when Jesus knew in himself by discernment, he is here watching our hearts. He has his meter. No, there is a mitre on the head of Aaron. He sees everybody's heart. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Verse 62. "What and if ye shall see the Son of God, Son of Man, ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." He knew this in himself. There was not a particular facade in them that showed unbelief. He knew it in himself. These things are atmospheric. They can be traced in the spirit, because it is him with whom we have to do. Verse 64. "But there are some of you that believe it not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore say I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." Now verse 66. If you don't mind, can we read it together? Once you go, verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." 67. Off together. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" Please, one more time, 68, all together. "Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of life." Praise the Lord. The concept around this burden that came into me is from the concept of who is a friend to you. Jesus said, "Henceforth I will not call you servant. I call you what? It's very simple. I want to tone it down so there shouldn't be much cloud, but that will not limit the entrance of what the Lord wants to do. And so in toning it down, I want to ask, if for instance today I go to Brotokumbo and say, "Brotokumbo, listen, I want to be your son and I want you to be my daddy." I hope Brotokumbo knows the implication of that. That it will go beyond, after church service, I'll go and say, "Elisa," and then we disperse. He must make out time for me. I may not need money from him. I may not need him to give me cash. But he must make out time for me. There are times when I may need him at 2 a.m. to be on the phone with me. I don't want to stretch that example because it's very, very clear to us. You see, the concept of friendship that we attach to the friendship with the Lord is actually the way we see friendship within ourselves. Friendship only when it is convenient. Friendship only when we come together. Friendship at the very, very superficial level. If Sister Bola is your friend and she is in church today and she's cold, she really smiles like she was smile. I mean, let's tone it down and come to clear example and understand some of these things that are happening. Why we are hearing things we are hearing today. Will you, if you call yourself Sister Bola's friend, will you not go and say, "My sister, I hope everything is fine"? Won't you press forward, even when she's blocking? Won't you press forward and say, "Tell me, talk to me, something is happening, something is wrong somewhere"? The Lord, we are friends of Jesus. We are friends with the Lord. Are we not? Sister Miriam, are you not friend of God? Of course you are. Okay. Have you experienced, or can you remember, I know it's happened to you many times, but I want to remind you, when somebody begins to unleash depression on you, when somebody begins to unleash a sense of weariness and tiredness, can you trace back some of the unleashings of frustration were done to you by your friend? People who are very close to you. Let me turn it the other way around. If you have any problem now, if you are married and you have any problem and you're so close to your partner, or you have a friend, you're not married, you're single, but you have a very close friend of yours, And he or she comes around you when you are going through a very dark time. The first person that will end that unleashing or transfer of aggression is that your friend. That is the first person that will get. In fact, the person on the street, your acquaintances, will even see. When you see your acquaintances, you just brighten up. How are you? How are you? That's what you do. You don't allow them to see because they are acquaintances. You don't want them to know what's happening to you. But the person that you will open up your nudity to, the person that you will speak to from your heart, and at that moment, that person should redefine friendship with you by making sure the person partakes of that thing you are going through. That's the person you unleash it to. So that's expo number one for our ladies. Anytime the men are unleashing things, it is because you are the closest to them. Vice versa. Having dropped that illustration as a mirror of reflection to us, is the church not God's property? The church is God's property. The church is God's bride. The church is the hope of assaulting the principalities and powers on earth. The church is everything that... What does God have on earth? What does God have now on earth? Take away the church. What does God have? That's what Jesus said he would build. And that the gates of hell will not prevail. But you and I know very well, just like disease can attack your child, something, a viral infection has attacked the church. And you want God, you want to tell me that you don't know that right now that God is in a serious business of recovering his bride from whoredom. You know that very well. Because that is the core of the message that has brought us into this structure. Now, if you are closest to God, if you and I are closest to God at this time, and God is in the business of restoring, putting things right, who do you think is the first person he will be given those hardcore assignments to? Who are the people he will state, he will make his manifesto clear to? Who are the people upon whom, when he breathes out his frustration, quote unquote, when he breathes out that his sense of wanting to make sure everything is right in his church, the time is very short. Even the dragon knows that the time is very short. He knows the time, we don't know the time. Paul said, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. If everything we are declaring at this stage is a clear reflection of the truth of the church, why must we not come to terms with the fact that this is a demonstration of God's friendship with us, reliability in us, that he wants us, please help me, my people. Please help me, my people. The soul must be offered. The soul must, let's not dance around it. Faith was given that we might walk, every genuine operation of faith is to bring us close to the Lord. Not first of all for performance. And one key, but you know, okay, say that we are trying to escape consecration. That was the first key. We are trying to escape it by all means. So Jesus made this thing clear. And this is the call of the Father, that he will be received. He will be the source of life. Not just that manner. So secretly they were believing in him, following him because of party, pleasure, successful marriage, good car, good house, good things of life. And then I said, listen, this is the main thing. I gave you all that bread just to bring you close to me. Every faith that you had in me to get these things of life is for you to come close to me. I am the one now. Do you want bread? They said, yes. Give us the one that Moses said, no. I tell you what, it's not even Moses that gave you that bread. It was my Father who gave it to you then. And after eating the bread, you still died. After eating that bread that was given to you in the first covenant, people did not live forever. But now I am the one that will be eating. Offering the soul is not intended to tell us off. Offering the soul is true. It's true. Those experiences of the feast are true. As we graduate from them, we have to come to a point where we enter into partnership with God. And say, Lord, my will, the seat of my will, the seat of my intelligence,
the seat of my volition, the seat of everything. Those are the things in our soul that is manipulating the universe, that we have not surrendered completely to God. Say, Lord, I offer my life to you. I offer that life to you. When Jesus declared this, call disciples. When we say call, we mean the center of your life. The call disciples, some of them left. They said, this is a hard saying. Before they left, Jesus said, looked at them and said, he saw himself. They were all seated, you know, attentive, but he saw in them. Say, is this thing, is it offending you? Brethren, the intention is not to offend us. This, because we need to brace up the bells, because it's a long flight and more of these elite are going to come. God saw that you and I can take it. Do you know, he believed that we can take it. He believed that we can understand it. He believed that we can run with it. For the sake of him as a friend to you, not just as a God who is a boss, because that's what the Jews saw him as, a boss who wants to be worshipped, and if we don't do well, he will kill us. But this time is, he is sharing, it's a business. We are partners in this business of salvation of the soul. He's looking up to us. He's looking up to the end time church more than anything, that we will run with this. And you and I need to ask ourselves, when they departed from him, this is a hard saying, when they left, where did they go to? Where did they go to? They went back to the temple, to the physical temple. They went back to the physical temple that Jesus said, this temple will be destroyed. That was the temple they went back to. Their pride of living a prophet, because the Jews were still a prophet, their pride of living that prophet is that, listen, let's go back to God. That is what they meant. They left him and went back to God, quote and unquote, went back to the kind of worship that will not present these things to them. Going back for us today doesn't necessarily mean that we are going back to, like Brother Jacob was solving serious problems last night. It's not a question of, okay, that we are going back to, I've heard people in conversation, listen, this thing, I don't know what they're saying, I'm going back to my church. You don't have any church. Because the call, first of all, like he said, it wasn't, the intention of the call was not just to come out of a physical denomination. It is a state. It is a state of disobedience to God. And once you come out of that state, anywhere you go to, your soul will not have rest if that state is still present there. So it's not a question of coming back. If you came back from somewhere, you want to go back there. But thank God, some of us today are in the category of Peter. You have broken the bridge. I have broken the bridge. I don't know about you. Say, Lord, there's nowhere to go to. You are the one that has the word of eternal life. We'll follow on. You see, I am very, very close to certain events as an individual, and God is really teaching me serious lessons. And I say these things from pains that are coming out of me, that many people don't believe this, that the soul has to be offered. And where they want to hide is in faith towards God. It's a place to hide in. It says, you have come to a state where you should be teaching these things, but you still again want to be fed by me. Some people want to hide under faith towards God. Not that it's wrong, but God has analyzed and weighed them that by now they are supposed to leave it on to the next step. But they want to run and go and hide under, because faith towards God has a form of religion and push on it and a sense of, you know, righteousness and acclamation. But does this offend you? It shouldn't offend your spirit. It is a call. It is a solemn call, because many things have gone wrong. Brethren, just open your eyes. Allow the Lord to give you experience to see you where the present church is. When you see where the present church is and you are God's own friend and you are a partner with him, you will go to him and join hands with him to make sure that whatever he wants done in his church is done. And he was not going to do it without you being the example of what he wants to show out. This doesn't, the intention is not to offend us. The intention, it is God himself making us partners with what he wants of us. That physical temple, that life of even Moses, who gave them that bread,
when he came to the Mount of Transfiguration, he didn't come to discuss about the temple that he built. He didn't come to discuss about the tabernacle that he built. That's not what brought him to the temple. He came to discuss about the death. The reason for that meeting was made clear. They came in glory. They came to discuss with him about his death. About his death. There is a lot of freedom that we are not experiencing. Because laid down in the system of this world, and one thing that was coming up last night, because repeatedly, when Brother Chijoke and some others who have an exceptional mantle to make extreme statements, when they make those statements, I feel that I should put my head on the line and also bring up another illustration. Now, I believe strongly that it is disturbing when illustrations against, when they speak about entertainment, they speak about examples of entertainment or air power, cyber power, internet, and all that. And what they are saying is, to some large extent, that those doors, those are windows of certain illegal entrances into our inner man. Those windows are open. That's what they are saying. I know that it's a bit unsettling because of how much progress we seem to be making in this side of eternity through those tools. But there's one question that dropped in, one illustration that dropped in my heart last night, and I will ask you. Now, I want to put three persons before you: Moses, Aaron, and Jesus. Who do you want to visit you tonight? To spend, you want Jesus or Aaron or Moses to visit you for 2 weeks? Sister Bola, who do you choose among the three? You want Jesus. Okay, that's fine. And so the question that came to me is this. And so Jesus comes to you physically to spend 2 weeks with you, like you, some of you are privileged to hold some of our brothers when they come. Brother Bot, Brother Chijoke, and others. But now, Jesus Christ himself, okay, I mean a person in the full stature of the present Christ, if we have to use that illustration technically as it is, give you a person who is in the full stature of the present Christ, come into you physically and say he wants to spend 2 weeks in your house, Sister Miriam, at Canningtown. Now, one question is this. Right now, you already have a lifestyle. My TV, I have 2 TVs. One in the living room, one is in the kitchen. Okay? I have a computer upstairs. I have my lifestyle in many ways in the house. My question is this. How many of your ongoing lifestyle will match the specific lifestyle of this man with the full-blown stature of Christ who has come literally to spend 2 weeks in your house? I use those three illustrations, Aaron, Moses, and Jesus, strategically because these are all symbols of consecration. And I tell you the truth. Even if by rank, Aaron is the lowest of these three, I tell you, Aaron's lifestyle will insult you and I. Aaron's life, what did he say yesterday? He said, when a priest is consecrated, he is there at attention. If you tell him that his father died, he's not doing anything about his father's death. Jesus is too much. If you bring the statue of Aaron into your house and in my house, how can he match the specifics of your lifestyle in that house? Most likely, when you and I are watching, maybe, X Factor, when you are watching Chelsea and Man U playing, I don't see Aaron coming to a kind of freely watch that match with you. That is the question that came to me. Will Aaron watching Chelsea and, because there are serious business in the heart of Aaron about the people. Millions of people. There are people in his heart. Look at his shoulder. Go and look at the shoulder of Aaron. Look at his shoulder and look at his breastplate. The 12 tribes everywhere. There are things in his heart that 24 hours is too small for him. Let alone Moses. So after that 2 weeks, if Aaron goes back and insists one time he comes back, if you are in the spirit, you find that your lifestyle will be, certain gaps will begin to close. Because when this man came to your house, the specifics in your lifestyle will not match the height of consecration that he is already addicted to. It was Bernardus who said, some months ago, he stood here, and he's there sitting.
If I'm wrong, he has correct me. He stood here and said, I made a statement about how, let me paraphrase. He condemned and revealed how much guilt is attached to how he pays attention even to football matches and all that. But that's what I said here. And when he was speaking last night, he also used himself as an example. Now, we are not there yet. I can tell you that I have this lifestyle going on in me. But if these things do not, if they're not thinking, ask the Lord for experience. There are times when I am paying attention to these programs, I won't lie to you. I will know very well. I will hear a tap on my shoulder. My son, come. I want to discuss something with you. And I'm just there. Look at one of the favorites that gets me sometimes. I'll be saying, I will ask him, what is it there? But you see, the soul. That free fall of the soul. That falling of the soul. Oh my God, may God open our eyes. We need experience, because if genuinely you don't see it in this light, my prayer is that God will give you express experience. But I was there also when these things were completely doubtful to me. But the truth is that one day at a time, how it works is that the Lord will bring God programs to you, things that have to be deleted. I want to be honest with you. If anybody comes here and says that you should go tomorrow and change and become perfect, but the person is not being realistic to you and to me. But what is the Lord bringing to you today? That's the question. What is He asking you to stop today? By His Spirit. I mean the one He's quickening you to stop. Not just the one you are intellectually hacking into and then you are appreciating that this thing is wrong. I'm not talking of that one. But what has the Lord quickened you right now to stop? Because it's so fearful to hear it. I already know it, but it was so fearful to hear it from that kind of unction that once a second of constitution is broken, you go back to you are starting again. Once a second of constitution is broken, you have started again. And the thing, you may not know it, because even the first point of start is full of unction, so you may not even notice the fall. The first start, the second might not be so obvious to you, because if every step of God is unctional, is full of unction. This, I don't know about you, for me, none of these guys will offend me. Nothing will offend me. We will overcome, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of His testimony, but now, we are getting ready not to love our lives unto death. That is where we are going to. God will get us ready. Get us so ready that we will come to a stature that will not be different from the first century church. Who will say, take off this head. Take off this head for Christ. It's very, very obvious. If there is an invasion of Holocaust to massacre Christians and say, Christ or you die. Oh, many believers will deny Christ. So even God is keeping us away from some spirits. Because we cannot handle those spirits for now. So, brethren, this is not intended to offend us. It's not the intention. Nobody is permitted. If anybody is doing anything to offend people, that person is on his own. If you craft anything to offend those people, then you're on your own. But I know this thing is a judgment. It's a judgment. Enoch made himself a part of that judgment. He partook in it. And God was judging him. He was giving himself and pleading mercy. He was going to that and pleading mercy. God gave him a son called Methuselah, whose name is, after your death, there will be destruction. After your death, there will be destruction. The father and the son is always one. He walked with God in that judgment, When God took him away, when the father of Methuselah went away, the son of Methuselah was down, using his life to create a cry through that judgment, crying for mercy. When his life, when mortality could not continue to cry for mercy, and Methuselah died, that was when the judgment came, physically to finish the whole world. It is you and I that will live, not just the life of Methuselah, but an endless life of crying for mercy over the church. And say, Lord, your church cannot fall short of being raptured without spot and wrinkle. It is you and I who will give ourselves unto the Lord. And say, your church must come to you the way you want it. We are not meant to be spectators of how the church will fall. We are not being called out to be distinguished so that we will enter into the promise, enter into the inheritance, and others. No, we must be our brother's keeper this time. We must be our brethren keeper. We must cry out, raise our voice and say, Lord, until you make Jerusalem a praise, we are not giving you rest. That Jerusalem is your body. That Jerusalem is your body. The spirit of religion cannot overthrow your body. This treasure is in earthen vessels. 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 When my sister was giving a testimony about Sister Atim and his household, this word came to me, and I think it is more directly to Brother Kumbo's household, according to what you are saying. Was you talking? Now, the person that came out in my mind was Jeremiah. What brought out Jeremiah to me was when you used the word that said, you may not see the result. Is that what you said? Okay, you might be laboring. What did you say? Okay, you might be laboring, but you may not see the reward. Outstandingly, Jeremiah came to mind. There was anybody who ministered a long ministry and had no convert. Check out Jeremiah in his own time. Jeremiah even came to the point and said, God, you have deceived me. Because he wasn't seeing the reward around. We have this orientation with performance and reward. God, I obey you. You do this for me immediately. In case you are like that, hold on to God's experience to Jeremiah. Because now in verse chapter 32, God said, the right of redemption is for you, Jeremiah. Let's read it before I close. Jeremiah chapter 32. After a long time of ministry for decades, there was no result. He wasn't alive to see Ezekiel. It was 25 years after that Ezekiel took up. His combat, we are not, you know, when you are ministering, there's something in you. When you are ministering and working for God, you want people to come and show loyalty to God under the auspices of what you are doing. That's a place of that hunger. But in Jeremiah's case, Ezekiel did not suffer. Even Daniel, who were his converts, who understood by the books of prophecy that he made, it was many decades later that sons began to arise by the message and legacy that Jeremiah. So if you are working for God and you are not receiving any reward now, who cares? You are working for the Lord. If you finish on this earth and nobody comes to terms with what God has done through you, go to eternity. But I tell you, your legacy will speak here. Your legacy will speak here. Is it in verse 6? The right of redemption. I'm not good at this. Yeah. Behold, all these people you are seeing, where were they for decades? When the thing shifted, they now came and said, listen, it is your right to buy. It is your right to buy that land. Jeremiah went, just to summarize it, Jeremiah went, brought money, paid for the land, made deeds of purchase, two deeds of purchase, one is sealed and one is open. And he told Baruch, Why is Baruch among us? Baruch was given, this is my wallet, I can't remember, I don't know who I can trust with this wallet. But those deeds of purchase were given over to Baruch. Take it. Those two deeds were given over to Baruch. Jeremiah knew that without anything in hand. He has paid it, the land of redemption, he has paid for it, but he gave it to Baruch. Say, take it. Go and keep it in the empty vessel. This treasure must be kept in an earthen vessel. Because God's business on the earthen vessel will cause it to last many days. God will not stop loading this treasure in the inner man. And for this treasure to be in the inner man, anything that counters that oppression must be offered. Our will, our emotions, our volition must be given up unto the Lord. Because that right of redemption is meant to be kept in the earthen vessel, in the inner man. And that is the only vessel that has received the sentence of living forever from the Lord. Jeremiah said it will last many days. Don't keep it in the bank. They keep it in the earthen vessel. Paul caught it. Paul understood it when he said, this treasure, this glory that is higher than the glory of Moses that we were speaking about last night. This glory that is full of life. The angels want it, they can't get it. Peter said that they envy the transaction. They envy the transaction that who is man that you're mindful of him? That this treasure will be kept in earthen vessels. I am sure if I disappoint God, many others will arise. Men will please God on earth. There will be humans on earth that will that will demonstrate Jehovah. I pray that I will be a part of them. But even if I disappoint God, I have seen that some people will come up on earth that will walk on this path and please God. Stephen just did a bit, and Jesus rose up on his feet. And he said, I see the Son of Man standing on his feet. They stoned him to death. I see people that can... God's joy must not be cut off. God's joy cannot be cut off. The reason of sadness is because joy can only come from the Holy Ghost. It is when the Holy Ghost plays that, when the Holy Ghost finds an abiding place to play around, that is when that life will be full of joy. This earth has not seen anybody yet. This earth has not seen the church yet. The church is going to manifest on this earth. Nothing will stop the church from manifesting on this earth. Even if I go back, like two disciples, there is a people that God has earmarked. I want to be a part of them. They are called saints. They are not called preachers. They are called saints. Though they can preach, but that is just the icing. They are men who will please God. Noah, while he was building the ark, just by building the ark, he brought condemnation and judgment on his generation. They please God. We are so privileged. I can't believe that at this time, but when I look back at another 10 years ago, I can't believe that I will be the one laying little or no emphasis on the things of this life. Talking about eternal life. Talking about the things of eternity. See, this treasure, God's wallet of putting this treasure is in the earthen vessel. That the excellency might be of him. There's an excellency that will come to God's name when God's people constitute the seat of this treasure. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, your enemy cannot continue to mock at you. Coming around your presence like in the days of Job. This time he wants to come around and mock and say, where are those people that you have called? But Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace that you are not ashamed in all of this to be called one of us, to be called your brethren. Lord, we are weak. Give us strength. We are drawn into things that we really don't like doing. In our first nature in Christ, from the new birth in Christ, we have remitted these things and we don't like them. But Lord, deliver us from this pool of evil. Deliver us from this pool of evil that is seated within, so that the things we don't like doing, we find already that we are in it. On the contrary, the things we like to excel on, we have no strength to do them. Lord, open the heavens, O Father. Take away these dryness. Back up your word with signs and wonders. Back up your word. Whenever there is doubt, you make signs and wonders to shame doubt. Lord, back up this word. For the sake of this word, you made manifest signs and wonders to testify to this word, to give a chance to those who are doubting. Daddy, please. Thank you for delivering us. Thus far you have brought us, and we are nearer to our salvation than where we began. Look at what you have made us today. You have changed our language. And you're going to help us to speak even better than we speak, being God's own language. Give us the spirit of unity. All your servants, oh God, that you have anointed to become envoys of this errandry. Lord, even though they love you and they are connected to you, but Lord, give them the vision of being one, being connected to one another as one squad here on it. So that the enemy will stop taking advantage of our divisions. Father, reinforce the visual analysis of this great prize that you have put on this message. Like our brother said last night, we cannot afford to build another kind of church, but to be a part of that church that you have purposed to build. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Thank you for this rite of redemption that you put in the earthen vessel. And by your word of promise and by your word of oath, it will last many days. It will last uncountable days. Blessed be your name. May your name be glorified. You have been asking me for a door to open. You have been doing a lot in your faithfulness. You have labored in faithfulness and you are still laboring in faithfulness. I'm now opening a door. A door of entrance. Such an entrance that will be abundant. I will give speed to my course and to my purpose, which I have revealed to you. I have made it clear to you and unto you. I see your afflictions, all ye my ministers. I see the afflictions that have been with you, especially for a long time. You have always desired that I would take this affliction away. But I'm telling you, my servant, please, keep focus on what I have made clear that you should continue doing. Spend no more time asking for this thing to be taken off, because my grace has been made sufficient unto you. My grace has been made sufficient unto you. Go on and continue with what I have made clear. It has come so clear that everybody can associate you with this. It is my making to have made it that clear. It is too late for you to slow down because of the things you want me to take away. I open a new door. I open a new door to my daughters. You are not rejected. I'm causing to rise among you a new spirit. You will be an inspiration to many. You have cried unto me. A few days ago, you were speaking to somebody on the phone on this same matter. You spent a long time talking about this. My daughter, I want you to stop henceforth ravishing your time on that issue. Watch the things I am doing in your life. I have accomplished a lot in your life and I'm giving you even more experiences. I have made my will clear. I have made it clear unto you. Wait and wait on me.
because I will definitely come. I have come unto my own to save my own. I will take away the stammering tongue. I will take away the stammering tongue. I will take away. I am with you in this journey, and I'm helping you to take away every attack sent by the evil one, causing bitterness to betray your calling. I am with you in full partnership. This root is uprooted. Stay in me. There shall be no danger. I've taken away the dangers that are geared towards stopping my course. I've taken them away. Those in schools, I'm visiting you because I'm also preparing you. I'm also preparing you in a different way. I'm also preparing you uniquely. I will also make for all the young ones, I will make my intentions clear upon all the issues that are in your heart. Follow on to the declaration of these things that are being spoken, and you will see my settlement come to you with peace. It is in this word and in this promise, it is in this inheritance that all the light of yours consists as young people. Your hope of fleeing all the attack of lust that has been orchestrated and conspired against you in the spirit is in your obedience to this word. I don't have grandchildren. You need to come to me yourself. I need a time with you. The things I'm doing with your parents are not even in any way to be compared to things I'm going to reveal through you. I have a lot in me that I can put through every individual, and they shall be unique in me and in their own way. I am a God of the old. I'm a God of the young. I'm a God of the men, and I'm a God of the women. I have everybody in my heart. Don't look at the old ones as being the only ones to whom these things have been given. I have given it unto all. Start with the little that I have given unto you. Always wait on me. Call upon me before you step out. Stop that relationship. I have shown you signs against that relationship. Stop it, and stop it for your own good, because I don't want to be interrupted in my walk through you. Trust you, Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Worship.
Praise the Lord. I just trust God to help me articulate that which He's spoken to my heart. And it's to do with this topic that we are meditating on, Lot's wife. As the Lord and I just sat down together, just talking yesterday, I was saying, God, explain this thing more to me. Let me understand it better than I do now. I know that Brother Ike on the first day was sharing a few things, and I'm sure those who are here would have looked at the scripture and meditated on it still. Well, I'll just say a few things. I just pray that somehow the Holy Spirit makes it clear to each heart that He wants this word to stay in. First of all, the Lord was saying to me that when I checked up the meaning of the word Lot, He said it means to be veiled, it means to be hidden, it means to be covered. And initially I was just thinking, God, you know, Abraham walked with you, and his testimony is in Hebrews 11. Yet a man walked beside Abraham for many years. He went to the various encampments that Abraham went to, because Abraham was a man of the way. He kept journeying. He wasn't stationary. The Bible records that he lived in tents, so he was moving, because the Bible says that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So he wasn't looking for a particular place. I believe Abraham in his heart had seen that city, and it was New Jerusalem indeed. But here was a man that was walking beside him, Lot. He had no understanding. The Bible says he was righteous, yes. But yet, he was veiled. He really didn't have an understanding of the covenant that Abraham had. There are quite a few scriptures, but I'll just say that I won't go into them, but I will say go and read Genesis 19 again from verse 1 to 16. And I'll just say that I was meditating on it yesterday. So Abraham was a person of the way. If you are not pressing on, you begin to settle, and eventually evil will catch up with you. And that's what happened with Lot. He was not pressing on, and that was why evil indeed came and met up with him where he was. The instruction that the angels gave Lot was to escape. Don't look back. Don't stay in the plains. Escape to the mountains. And I was saying to the Lord, I said, this message is not for those who are out there, because I find it profound that the Lord at this time, you know, if one looks curiously at the way the Lord has been dealing with us for some years now, when he first started with the five virgins and the wise and the foolish virgins, and last year he was talking to us about moving up from Adam to Enoch, and then to this time he begins to say, remember Lot's wife, and it was said in a conversation. You know, and I still check the context in which the Lord was saying that word, but I'll get to it. One of the things, when I was looking about the mountains, it says, escape to the mountains. You know, I believe, and the Lord has been saying for a long time, that the message is to ascend into the mountain of the Lord. We sing that song so many times, come and let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, you know. And I believe that it's a prayer and it's a cry that we should continually have even now. Continue to ask God to take us higher. Let us never be comfortable with staying in the familiar. Because it takes faith to move from the familiar onto the unfamiliar. But that's what it takes to walk with God. Again, as my meditations last night said, there is a calling beyond ministry that we see today. The ministry of the high priest is what we have been called to. It's the holiest of all. It's the highest ministry that the Lord would have us walk into. Sorry if I repeat some things, but that's just how the Lord was reinforcing some messages to me yesterday. Abraham had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Lot did not develop that relationship. And when I pondered about it, what the Lord was making me understand is that, you know, we need to get to a point. Lot was what I term follow. He was following everyone. He really didn't know and understand what walking with God was all about. And that was why when he was separate by himself, he did not press on, and evil again caught up with him. You know, and the call for us is that no longer, you know, should anyone be following another man, following what they say. You know, but the Bible says that we have an anointing that is within us that teaches us all things. We must get to this point that no longer what man teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual truths with spiritual truths. It's time to tell people to seek the Lord for themselves. You know, the Lord kind of people will fail without spiritual guide. But if we who are, I'm reading some of the things as I wrote them down. But we who are teachers must lead them to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not with anything, not with our theology, not with our end time doctrine. But when we come to know the Father and know his heartbeat, and we are the children, like Brother Abina was saying earlier on, you must learn to know God for yourself. Where you are separate, where there is no one with you, but it's just you and God. It's not just children though, because we are all God's children. We need to get to this point where we are not following. We are not comfortable because we are in an assembly where everybody is following us. But we in ourselves are striving and seeking the Lord with all our hearts. That was what distinguished Abraham. For many years, we've heard a lot of things. Lots of things. I call them a lot of recycling. But while it helps to confirm our faith, it will not bring us into the fullness. If people must begin to say to God, God, there is more to you than I know. I want to know you more. What is it? That is the cry that people must ask. What is it that I need to know to bring me to the full stature? Where am I lacking? What are the things I need to overcome to make me sit on the throne? The Bible says to him that overcometh, there are many promises there. And one of the things says, he will be a son unto me. You know, there is nothing like God attesting and saying, this is my beloved son. But that is where God wants to save all of us. This is my beloved son. That is the estate to which he has called us. The estate to which our hearts must see. The same thing that Abraham saw. He didn't see something physical. Remember that God is a God that is invisible. But he has chosen to make himself visible in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's choosing to make himself visible in you and I. For we are an extension of him. That is the way of the Lord. You know, and then I pondered again about Lot's wife. But before I get there, one of the things the Lord was saying to me, he says, God will pass us through refined sieves. And that indeed is the narrow way. It will not be something that is straight, but what God is determined to achieve with us, he will achieve it. You know, the Bible says the purposes of God was made clear in the beginning. It said, let us make man in our own image. Man came out from God. Man is in the image of God, and that is what God, even we have fallen, but we have come back. So this message is to the church, you know, that we come back to stand in the right image. And that's why we must do a lot of house clearing, a lot of taking away of a lot of things, you know, because God wants myriads of himself. As I pondered about why the Lord, I think it's in Luke 17, let's just look at it just to give a context. Luke 17, verse 32. Yeah, let's go to the before it. Maybe start from 10. I'll tell you when I've gotten this. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, notice the questions they were asking him. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observations, neither shall they say, lo here or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto his disciples, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they said, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lightened out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things, and be rejected of his generation. Then he begins to say, what begins to catch my own heart? It is, as it was in the day of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. All of these things are related. He said, they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This message is to you. It's a parable the Lord has been saying about remembering Lot's wife. I just want us, like the disciples did, to say, Father, you spoke, Jesus, you spoke to us in parables, but speak to us clearly. And each one has a desire that the Holy Spirit will speak some words to you. a specific word, because we are all at different stages of growth. But the Lord knows what He needs to quicken us, to bring us to His expected end. Praise the Lord. Now, seeing that this message, because I began to wonder that, God, why did you use Noah? Why did you use Lot to explain about the coming of the Son of Man and your kingdom? Noah was warned of the Lord's judgment that was coming, and he was told to build an ark. And then this ark took 40 years in building. How many? 120 years. Yeah. So it was a long time, but the word of the Lord had gone forth. But there was an expectation that that word would come to pass, and Noah kept that word in his heart. You know, and you know, I was wondering why the significance of the ark, because it was the ark that saved Noah. And then, almost as I thought about it, the Lord was telling me, what is in the holiest of all? It's the ark there. And that's what God is calling us to, the highest form of priesthood unto Him. And I don't know how I got this understanding, but He said God Himself shut that door for the ark, you know. So I was just saying, what are you signifying by these things? Because as Bible students, we are not playing church anymore. We just want to study the Word to understand what the mind and the purpose of God is. Then I went back to Lot as well. You know, and one of the things that is so indelible in my mind, and that's probably because no man taught me, just God Himself. And, you know, one of the things He said to me about Lot's wife is about looking back to the previous moves of God. That word is so indelible in my mind, that we look at the old things and expect that God will work in that way. But you see, God is doing a new thing. And if you open your eyes, or ask the Lord to open your eyes, you will see that which He is doing. So we do not expect Him in the old, but yet you will see a part of the old coming forth in the new. But that is the way of the Lord. You know. Praise the Lord. I'll just round up. You know. And with Lot's wife as well, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Again, one of the things the Lord taught me, myself, was that a pillar is a fixed thing. Salt is good, but it is in a stationary place. It cannot move anywhere. And no one wants to be a fixed thing, because, you know, you want to walk with God at the speed of light. You want to walk with your Father, soaring boundless in the realms of the heavens. Because if only we would know that there is so much to God that we know now, so much to Him. And God, more than ever, wants to reveal this so much that is boundless about Him to us, if only we will ask Him. But we must not be familiar with God. We must not be get comfortable to begin to think that that is all about God that we need to know. There is so much. There must be a yearning and a crying in the heart of the people of God to say, God, I know. You know, just imagine the God that spans from one end of the heavens to the other. How boundless He is. And we think that all of that, what we have seen and we have heard in the so many years, all there is to know about God. That cannot be true. There is so much that God wants to pour out. But then He gives us a warning. For there is judgment that is coming. And I don't mean judgment in the way that we have heard it. But I want you to ponder about it. The judgment that came with Noah was with water. With Sodom was with fire. But this is the kingdom of God that is coming forth. You know, I just want us to ponder. Like I before in the morning, I was saying, God, I'm trying to understand all that you are saying. But even as I've said to you now, I will still go back and say, Father, what is it that there is more to know that I don't know? You've spoken to me like the psalmist says, once have you spoken, twice have we heard. Let that word echo in my spirit. Let me understand you much more than what you're saying now. Not that, but I think I understand from what you said now. But what is your full mind? I tell you, there is nothing. If you sit down with God for an hour, He will teach you more of Himself. But we must be ready to junk everything that we think we have known. For we must not stay in the place. We must not stay in the place where we are comfortable. But ask God, say, Father, there is more to you than I know. Open my eyes to see these things. I tell you, the word, you know, you sit down and you begin to study the word, and the Lord begins to open, remembering that you are a part of Him. There are so many things that the Lord wants to release in the spirit, that you bringing forth, another person bringing forth. The Bible says line upon line, here a little dead, the church of God will stand up in its full strength.
Yes.
There is so much. There is so much. God, I tell you, the cry of my heart, I say, God, I don't want to walk like a man, like walking like they said, walking and seeing trees. You know, it's not fully. I don't want to walk like Lot. I want to walk not just like Abraham, but like the Lord Himself, knowing you, understanding you, comprehending you. But you see, it's not something that comes that can be laid of hands. It's not something that comes like an instant. It comes as a process. God, if He wanted to, could have ended all of creation in one day, 10 days. In fact, wipe everything and. But He's working out a process in you and I. We don't even fully comprehend. If you say you know, then you lie. Because like I've just said, there is God is boundless. And there is much more to Him than we know. But as our hearts, He says, now shall we know as we follow on. We are a people of the way. We are following on. You know, for long, the Lord, when everybody is singing that song, you know, says, you know, then shall we know? No. Now do I know as I follow on to know you. Let God give us a new song is my prayer. Let God change our hearts. Let God speak, open up the windows of heaven, you know, and release unto us. Because it's not just like there's a work to be done. No. The work of the world is being accomplished in the people, in you and I. Praise the Lord.